Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We began a study previously on the subject of deception. The Apostle Paul admonished the Galatian brethren, "Be not deceived." Christ warned, "Be not deceived." And we established certainly the truth and the reality that man can be deceived, he can be misled, he can be taught things to accept as true that are not true, and he can deny things that are true that absolutely that are false. He can be honest and sincere in his convictions, but nonetheless he can be misled, he can err from the truth, he can be beguiled and seduced and deceived. If that were not so, why, the inspired apostle and the Lord would not warn man against doing that. Well, we'll not review what we have studied before, but we want to point out some things that oftentimes deceive mankind. Friend, we can be deceived by material wealth. Did not Jesus warn in Luke chapter 12, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth"? Man can think all is well because he has much material gain, but he's deceived to think that that's a proper measure. In Matthew 13, Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower, and he spoke of the deceitfulness of riches. Yes, it's possible for one to think his material prosperity means that he necessarily is acceptable before God spiritually. The letter of Christ to the church in Laodicea dispelled any such notion, however. Because they thought themselves in need of nothing, they thought they were rich, but in the sight of God they were described as being poor and wretched and naked and blind and miserable. Seeing how riches can and do deceive, it's a wonder that so many seem to set as their prime goal in life is to have, is to get, is to accumulate, is to keep, is to grow in riches, not realizing that such betrays where their heart is and that they strive for the wind. They're deceived. Lust and sin deceive. Ephesians 4, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." In Romans 7, Paul wrote, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Paul said to the brethren in Thessalonica, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Hebrews 3:13 reads, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Yes, sin deceives a person. Sin offers pleasure. It offers reward. It may appear to be attractive. People are misled, not being aware of the ultimate wages of sin, which is death, which is spiritual death, separation from God, and damnation. Consider the fruit used to deceive Eve. Oh, it was appealing. Through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. John warns of these avenues of approach by Satan to lead us into sin, because sin offers us that which would deceive us and would be to our ruin. And pride can deceive. In Galatians 6 and verse 3, Paul said, "If a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing," notice now, "he deceiveth himself." In Romans 12 and verse 3, he said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith." A person that thinks so high of himself, higher than he ought to think, he deceives himself. He really won't deceive other people very much, but he deceives himself. An inflated ego, a pompous display of self-importance, that's a mark of haughtiness and pride. Those who succumb to the idea that they are what the Bible calls somewhat, they're easy targets for self-deception. So often this becomes evident when people spend their time and spend their energies consuming the philosophies and the doctrines and the theologies and the theories concocted in the minds of men. Oh, they consider themselves to be scholars. Oh, they're the experts because they've attained to certain arbitrarily determined academic levels. And they look upon others as being ignorant and uneducated and uninformed and inferior, unqualified really to speak, while consider themselves to be really the only ones deserving of being heard. Such has captivated many people who mount pulpits after getting degrees of higher education. Now, higher education per se is not wrong. What kind of higher education one has received may be wrong. People are often deceived by thinking because a person has a number of degrees that he must know what he's talking about. But that's not necessarily so. It is nothing but a demonstration a lot of times that people who are educated are nothing but educated fools. They've been brainwashed with the doctrines of men. They really don't have respect for the doctrine of Christ, and they think themselves so superior. Oh, that pride can deceive them. But friend, the lack of knowledge of the truth, that's the avenue of deception. That's what enables people to be so easily deceived when they don't know what the Bible teaches. Now, the Sadducees posed a tricky question to Jesus concerning the resurrection. But Jesus responded, "Ye do err." Then he told them how they erred. They did not know the Scriptures nor the power of God. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Misinformed, uninformed people can be led astray, and this is why it is worthwhile to repeatedly admonish one another, composed of people who should know the Bible, and the those who know the Bible are the least likely to be swerved from digression or into digression and from the truth. But when people don't know the truth, here comes one with a smooth tongue and fair speeches and a pleasing personality and egotistical attitude, he can take that whole church into error. Peter speaks of false teachers. He compares them to Balaam. Balaam was a prophet who was covetous and unwilling to curse God outright or curse God's people outright. But he accomplished their downfall through compromise and false doctrines and led Israel into abomination. Peter spoke of those who had gone astray, and that's the same word that means being deceived. Yes, one is deceived, Paul said in Galatians 6, when he thinks he can mock God. Now, to mock means to sneer, as if to turn up the nose. And some do this toward God as if there will never be a day that they'll reap what they have sown. But who doubts that what is sown is eventually reaped? We know this principle is true in every field of human endeavor. Why should we be deceived into thinking it's not true concerning our relationship toward God? Romans chapter 2 teaches that God will render to every man according to his deeds. Do you believe that? We are deceived if we think that we can reap God's blessings while sowing the devil's crop. God's truth cannot be successfully disregarded, friend. It can't be ignored. It can't be disobeyed and still be acceptable in the sight of God. And we are deceived if we think that's not true. Now, in contrast to deception, that always characterizes false ways and false teachers, those who teach God's truth never use deceit. You don't try to mislead and misguide people. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Listen to me, friend. Those who believe the word of God will not be deceived, because they have within their power the distinction and discernment between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what is true and what is false. They know the will of God. We know that that's the truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, "And anything that jars against it otherwise would deceive us," but we will not be deceived when we know the word of God. We can be deceived in ignorance, but when we know the word of God, we will not be deceived. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, "We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Paul said his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. God's word, rather than misleading people, it will guide people aright. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Righteousness art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. The testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My beloved listener, we can depend upon what God says. God's word is true, and God is true to his word. And God has warned us, "Be not deceived." Does that make us realize that we can be? But God has provided a way to prevent that. Rather than being deceived, our delight should be in the law of the Lord. God's truth is the very opposite of deception. And when one hears, when one believes, when one obeys the gospel in repentance and confession of Christ and being baptized for the remission of sins, he becomes a child of God. And as a child of God, he has the responsibility, he has the obligation to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3:18. And if we will do that, then no man, regardless of how pleasant he might be, regardless of how learned he might present himself to be, he will not mislead us. We will know better than to follow his doctrine and his teaching. We will know that thus saith the Lord is the way that man is to go. And we will realize when Jesus said that man is going to be judged, and he's going to be judged by what the Lord has taught. John 12:48. So we leave these two lessons on deception, urging us all, search the Scriptures. We know they are true, and when we follow those things, we know we are right before God. Otherwise, yes, it's possible, we could be deceived. Let us not be deceived. Let us know the truth. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.